97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show. Glad you're with us here on the 28th? How's that possible?
Yeah.
How is that possible? Wow, we are 1 week and a day from Election Day, but of course, voting's already underway. Hopefully, if you haven't banked your vote yet, you're still planning to do that, so there are no chances that bad weather or a doctor's appointment or long lines would stop you from voting on Election Day. Let's just get it done. I wish we had one day of voting as originally intended, but that's not the rule, and we need to play by the rules. So get out there and vote. Let's do it. If there are long lines, suck it up and get your vote in for sure. Coming up, we're going to talk to Hans von Spakovsky. If you listened this weekend, any of the weekend shows, you saw J.D. Vance. He was all over the place. He got into it with a bunch of people, Jake Tapper, Margaret Brennan as well. But he talked a little bit about election integrity and the differences between 2020 and what we're going to face this year. And in just a few minutes, we're going to talk to Hans von Spakovsky about that. Of course, he used to be a federal elections commissioner. He now works for the Heritage Foundation as a senior legal fellow. We'll get to that for you about 20 after, so be sure and stay tuned for that. First, though, I want to draw your attention to Senate District 15. Andrew Koenig is currently the senator who has termed out in that district. It has always been a pretty conservative district. I mean, Andrew Koenig has always been one of the more conservative members of the Missouri Senate. This year, according to polling from the Missouri Scout, and this is a Remington poll, it currently shows the Democrat in this race, Joe Peerless, neck and neck, if not slightly ahead of Republican David Gregory, which is a shocker to me, and you know, lots of questions about that. I've got Niles Stevens on the phone this morning. He's a Wild Horse Township Committeeman. Niles, welcome in.
Oh, hey, thanks, Mark. Thanks for having me on. Yeah. Appreciate all you're doing at 97.1.
Well, I appreciate that, sir. Thank you. And you know, I saw the letter you guys put out. Some local Republican leaders have kind of gotten together and put out a statement on this because, you know, there are some mayors who do not have your best interest in mind who've actually endorsed the Democrat in this race. What do people need to know about Joe Peerless to begin with?
Well, yeah, so we're 1 week out from Election Day, and of course the Democrats have went for their old tried and true playbook of misrepresenting themselves and trying to pass off these far-left radicals as middle-of-the-road moderates. And Republicans in West St. Louis County, we're having none of it. So, yeah, we put out a press release today, and we're letting people know that this guy who's running for Senate District 15, he's a guy who campaigns for Cori Bush. He's a guy who donates to Cori Bush. He is a defund the police type of guy. And the police and the firefighters and the first responders in West St. Louis County, they have endorsed our Republican candidate. His name's David Gregory. We're asking everybody to get out and vote for David Gregory. We're asking everybody to vote a straight Republican ticket because we back the blue. We don't support these far left Cori Bush type candidates. And so we're calling out these local mayors who are advertising for this out of touch far left radical in Senate District 15.
Yeah, well, and who are they? I mean, it's Bob Nation from Chesterfield, Tim Pogue from Baldwin, and Mike Clement from Manchester. Who it's important to say, don't represent the Republican Party. I mean, they supposedly are nonpartisan mayors, correct?
Absolutely, yeah. They're nonpartisans. They don't run as Republicans. I am an elected Republican. David Gregory's an elected Republican. Everybody who signed off on our press release, we are all elected by Republican voters in primary elections. So we speak for the Republican Party, and we're here to tell you that these mayors, they will show up at our Republican events because they have to get votes from both Democrats and Republicans to get elected in their towns. It's just what they have to do in April. So they'll show up to our Republican events, but whenever the leaders in Jefferson City and the Republicans in Jefferson City start to do things like the senior property tax freeze, when we do things like the stopping the ban on streaming service taxes so you don't get nickel and dimed for your Netflix and your Hulu, These mayors, they go fight and flight mode. You know, they fight the Republicans at every turn, and they run as far away from the Republican Party as they can as soon as you start to focus on the family budget rather than their municipal budget.
They're bureaucrats is what people need to understand. Now, I can specifically talk to Bob Nation because when in the Republican primary this year, I endorsed Bill Igel. And one of the things I liked about Igel is he talked about cutting taxes, among other things, cutting the personal property tax. And I get a personal phone call on my cell phone one day from Bob Nation chewing me out. I don't understand how that would impact his budget if you cut taxes. Like, they live in fear of the, you know, they live off the public teat, so to speak, and they live in fear of any Republican policy that might reduce your tax burden. That's what people need to understand about these mayors.
Absolutely, Mark. They love big government, and they don't mind you paying for it. That's how they operate in these municipalities out here.
Well, I hope people are paying attention, and I hope your letter here gets a little bit of traction because people need to be aware of this. I know there are long lines to vote. I don't know what's I've seen pictures out from the Daniel Boone Library out there in your neck of the woods. I know in Chesterfield and Wildwood there have been long lines. I'm hoping that turnout is a good sign.
Yeah, I think it is, and I know you mentioned some polling data from Mo Scout, but I got word from some polling that came out recently that actually shows David Gregory up by 7%.
Oh, wow.
And so, yeah, we're feeling good. We're feeling confident. We think that the long lines, that a lot of those people are that are in those long lines, that they are Republican voters, and we're asking everybody to get out, vote early, and vote a straight Republican ticket. Yeah. We're not asking just Republicans to vote for us and just the independents. We have Democrats coming to our side. We see it at the national level with Tulsi Gabbard and RFK and Elon Musk coming over with Trump. And we know that Democrats can support Republicans, not because we're trying to be Democrats, but because our policies are better. And it's going to provide safer streets. It's going to provide economic prosperity. And so that's why we're asking all voters to get out and vote a straight Republican ticket this November.
Yeah, well said. Niles Stevens, thanks for your time this morning. I appreciate you getting up early.
Thank you, Mark. Have a great day.
Yep, you too. You too. Thank you very much. I just wanted people to be aware of what's going on out there. David Gregory is on my voter guide. He's the one, of course, I've endorsed in Senate 15 here for the general election. Go to 971talk.com, and you can find that voter guide. It's right there at the top of the page. It's pretty much pinned to the top of the page. Print it out. Take it with you. Look at it on your phone. Or whatever you need to do, just go vote, please. Coming up, Hans von Spakovsky. We'll talk to him about the election integrity issue that J.D. Vance was schooling the media on this weekend. Stay tuned.
Do you have full confidence that the state of Pennsylvania and the election officials here are administering this election fairly? Do you foresee litigation in this state?
Look, I think that they're doing a good job. I think that they're doing a better job than they were in 2020. And most importantly, I think most Americans are seeing, whether it's voter ID in places like Wisconsin or Georgia, or a little bit of tightening of the regulations around signature verification in places like Pennsylvania, that I think our elections are in a pretty good spot in 2024. Obviously, if something comes up, we don't know what the future is going to hold. If we see evidence, for example, of an illegal alien casting a ballot, yeah, we're going to challenge that in court. But seeing what I see right now, 10 days out from the election, Margaret, I think Pennsylvania is in a really good spot.
Hans von Spakovsky, you know, the former emperor of the Austro-Hungarian Empire.
All right, great to have Hans on here, our election integrity expert. And I don't know if you got to see that interview or not, Hans, but I thought J.D. Vance did a very good job sparring with Margaret Brennan there.
Oh, no, I agree. And actually, I thought maybe I was listening to myself when he was giving his answer, because I would assess things the very same way. Now, I don't know if he mentioned the fact that just last week, Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, discovered that someone at the last moment tried to dump over 2,000 what turned out to be fraudulent voter registrations in the county. But, I mean, fortunately, election officials figured out what was going on.
Yeah, I'm always amazed these reporters say, but there's no evidence that you know that illegals are voting. There's no evidence that they're going out and taking advantage of the system. Well, if you don't audit it, how do you know? If you allow names to stay in the system that aren't U.S. citizens, what's to stop them from voting? As long as they have an ID and show up and they're registered, most of these poll workers are going to allow them to vote.
Well, that's right, because poll workers have no way of knowing whether somebody is a citizen or not. And it's funny that she, the reporter, would say that when, I think just over the weekend, Iowa released information that they had actually done an audit. They had turned up about 150 aliens who apparently confirmed aliens who voted in past elections. And they have another 2,000 suspected individuals who are registered to vote and who they think are not U.S. citizens.
Well, and just a couple days ago, Hans, you had the federal judge who ordered Virginia to reinstate non-citizens back onto the voter rolls. I think that was some 1,500 people who self-identified as non-citizens and somehow were expected to, it's totally fine if they want to vote in our federal election.
No, that's right. And Virginia actually tried to go to the Court of Appeals, the Fourth Circuit, to get a stay of that opinion, were turned down, no surprise, and they are now going to file an emergency appeal with the U.S. Supreme Court. By the way, that case shows how important who the president is and who appoints federal judges, because the judge who issued that decision is a recent Biden appointee, and she's totally misinterpreting federal law to issue that order against Virginia.
Yeah. You know, in each one of these interviews, it's inevitable that at some point leading up to the election a week out, if they get a shot at Trump or they get a shot at J.D. Vance, they'll ask this question: will you accept the outcome of the election no matter what? Well, of course your answer is going to be no. Because what if there's evidence of fraud? What if you suspect widespread fraud? Why would you ever say that in advance? Stacey Abrams certainly didn't.
No, she didn't. And by the way, there was just a story also, I think just last week, about how the Democratic Party is lining up thousands of lawyers. Why? Well, because somebody should be asking Kamala Harris, if she loses by a very small margin, is she going to accept the outcome of the election? I kind of doubt it.
Yeah, no, absolutely not. They've employed thousands of these, and I'm sure the Republicans have done the same thing. I mean, there's just no way. I mean, what if it's tied in Virginia? Could you challenge the fact that they let those 6,500 people stay on the rolls?
Oh yeah, absolutely. And look, that's actually a small number. If you look at various reports, Virginia actually has said that since 2014, it has removed 11,000 aliens from the voter rolls. 11,000.
You know there will be challenges to the election results. It could be from both sides. I mean, you think it could be several days before we actually get results, Hans?
Yes, particularly in states that have change their law to allow absentee ballots to keep coming in after Election Day.
Yeah, unless, of course, we get some sort of a tidal wave one way or the other. I think we're not going to know next Tuesday night at 10 o'clock when we're all ready to go to bed.
No, and I really regret that, because I'm going to be staying late at my office.
Of course.
waiting and watching what's going on around the country.
Yeah.
So I would love an early result and a huge margin of victory.
Me too. Hans, always great having you on. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. Hans von Spakovsky there at Heritage, at H von Spakovsky if you're on X. And I wish it would be over early, because I'll be stuck at Channel 4 till 11 o'clock next
night. I know I won't be sleeping. We should take a poll and see when people think that we're actually going to get results. Because I think it could be Friday or... I mean, I'm serious. I really think it could be several days.
It could, unless Trump picks up New Mexico and some of these states that he didn't win before. And then suddenly Pennsylvania's not, you know, make or break.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be.
Could be a landslide.
Could be. I don't know what it's going to be. We'll see. All right. We're going to get to a... A quick break here. We're back with the Check of Business, and we'll talk more about Amendment 2 and the lies. We'll be back in a minute.
If you think this country is doing so bad, go to Africa, go to other countries, you know, and try it. Try living out there for a while, for just a week. I only give you 1 week, and you will come back. This is the greatest country in the world. This country gives us so much, but we are here and we don't appreciate it. I feel sorry for people like that.
That, my friends, is Evelyn. You're going to hear from her coming up here in about an hour. I met Evelyn driving an Uber about 2-3 weeks ago, and I've been begging her to come on here and do an interview with me. She is a immigrant to this country from Africa. She's been here 16 years. She has achieved the American dream, and she's angry at what she sees going on at the southern border and this attitude in America from people who were given the greatest gift that they can ever be handed in this lifetime, which is being born in America, being born a United States citizen. You're handed the greatest opportunity in the world. There are people dying to get here. And she talks about the fact that she sees people taking that for granted who live here, who make excuses for them not being able to succeed. They blame somebody else. I want you to hear her story. So please hang around here. If you can't set an alarm, come back here in an hour at 7:35 and listen to this interview with my friend Evelyn. Kim can testify. She is a ball of energy, and she's got a lot to say.
She's easily top three favorite interviews I've ever done.
Oh, I would agree with that completely. So don't miss that. Come back here in about an hour. We'll get her on here for you, I promise. All right, Carl, let's get to Nicole. Nicole Murray, how are you?
Good morning. I am freezing. How are you?
Oh, no. It's in the 40s here. How cold is it up there?
I don't know currently outside, but when I was coming to work, it was 29
degrees. Oh, wow. We haven't hit the 20s yet.
Yeah, I'm not a happy camper. And the boys always make fun of me for being cold. And I'm like, who isn't cold in 29 degrees? So
you got to get one of those Snuggies.
I have one in office, and they make fun of me for that, too.
Oh, maybe I should bring one of those in, because it's always cold in the studio. The guys can be wearing short sleeves. Well, I guess Carl wears a sweater.
I believe there's one in that cabinet right
over
there.
Oh, really?
I bought one for the studio a couple years ago.
How many cobwebs does it have on it now?
I don't know. I'm not saying. I'm just saying I believe there's one here. Anyway, Nicole, we hope you warm up a little bit. What's going on out there?
Futures are moderately higher. Friday, the Dow Industrials lost 259, the NASDAQ gained 103, and the S&P 500 down 1. A St. Louis-based cannabis company has defaulted on a loan and owes a Maryland investment trust more than $22 million. That's according to a new lawsuit that has been filed. Viridescent Realty Trust Incorporated said it lent the money to Blue Arrow Missouri, a business that cultivates, manufactures, and sells cannabis products. Costco is recalling packages of Acme Smoked Fish Corporation salmon over concerns that they could be contaminated with listeria. Customers who purchased the recalled salmon are instructed to return it to a Costco store near them for a full refund. Boeing is set to launch as early as today its plan to raise more than $15 billion in capital as it works to bolster finances worsened by a crippling ongoing strike. The new capital is set to come from a mix of the sale of stock and convertible preferred shares, saying the total amount raised could rise based on demand. McDonald's is bringing the Quarter Pounder burger back to restaurants affected by an E. coli outbreak this coming week. Health authorities have stated the burger's onions, rather than its fresh beef patties, are the likely source of the outbreak. Venom: The Last Dance took the top spot at the box office, collecting $51 million during its opening weekend. However, the film was projected to pull in closer to $65 million. The film, however, is performing better overseas, collecting $124 million internationally. And finally, American Airlines is testing new technology to cut down on passengers who try to cut the line. The technology alerts gate agents with an audible sound if a passenger tries to scan a ticket ahead of their assigned group.
Oh, that stinks.
What do you mean that stinks? Wait your turn.
No, they don't. It doesn't matter. I do that all the time.
You know what? Really?
Wow. A-hole.
You're one of those people?
No. They don't care.
Yeah, they do care.
They don't care.
I do.
Wow.
That is annoying.
Wow.
It is annoying to me when somebody instantly gets up with their luggage and is waiting. I'm like, just sit down. You're like group C or whatever. Like, calm down. You're going to be fine. You're going to get on the plane. It's not going to take off without you.
You know what they call those people in the airline industry? They're called gate lice.
Really?
Because, I don't jump up and go when they take their you know, blue platinum, blue customer thing or whatever. But if I'm in group six and they're boarding group four and there aren't very many people standing up there, I'll go ahead and get in the line. There's no reason not to. And the gate agents don't care. They don't look at your ticket. You scan it and you walk right on the airplane.
Is there a certain type of like shampoo that could get rid of people like that? Gate lice? Or no? Have they not come out with that yet?
They join a group like lice on hair.
The people that are lice are the ones that try to cut in line and cheat. Like, they've got a family of 12 and they've got one kid under 5 and then they have to board early because they got one young kid. But I'm not a problem.
It's got to be so awkward to have to tell a grown adult, though. Like, ma'am, can you please wait your turn?
Excuse me.
You mean, when you say ma'am,
so
you mean Mark?
So which airline is going to do this?
Mark.
Yeah, thank you.
It's American.
Okay, American, then I just won't fly
and
American.
They're also going to have it. It's going to be an audible tone so everyone can hear it. And that takes the pressure.
They ought to put a spotlight on you and then have it start going
you.
Off.
And
right?
They could do the scene from Game of Thrones where they're like, shame, 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 shame. So they have the spotlight plus the beep.
You mean
plus
you have
the
to take
shame,
your clothes
shame,
off
shame.
And then
well, maybe let's not go there, Mark.
Come on, you said Game of Thrones.
And you
That's
have
what
to
happened.
Walk down the airport and people just and people just watch you.
So the tone will take the pressure off of the gate agent. So they're not shaming you. Everyone else is shaming you.
I see. I don't believe that'll ever happen.
I want it to.
It could, Mark.
I don't believe it'll ever happen.
Mark, I can't believe you're that guy.
They don't care. I'm just telling you, they don't care.
No, Mark, they don't care. We care.
If you have an assigned seat, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You have an assigned seat. You're not on Southwest trying to get to the front of the line.
Yeah, but you might be getting you might be getting the overhead storage
Thank
faster
you.
Than no, you.
Thank you.
You, Mark, I'm calling you out.
Thank you,
you might be getting that before somebody
Thank
else
you.
Who deserves
Thank
it because
you.
Well, maybe it not deserves it.
Because they checked
all,
in a millisecond
well, no,
beforehand.
No, you know what? The checking in process is bogus. Sorry to hijack this, Nicole, but we all know that you can sit there and exactly 24 hours before your flight takes off and it opens, you check in and somehow you're in the C boarding group. It
you're
doesn't
making my case
it is,
for me.
It's baloney. You could the person right next to you gets an A, and you checked in at the exact same time, and somehow your seat.
It's because it's got to do with your seating.
I have a lot of feelings about this more than I thought.
Clearly, I've gotten people fired up, Nicole.
Well, if you go on earlier, it messes with the whole boarding process.
No, it doesn't.
Like, don't they go from the back of the plane to the front of the plane?
They do not.
So hey, then, Nicole, you want to chant shame together? Ready? 1, 2, 3. Shame. 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 Shame.
Kill the mic, Scarl, please. Thanks, Nicole, for stirring things up. I'll see you on Wednesday.
So much more emotional on a Monday than I was prepared for. But thanks so much, guys.
All right. We'll see you. That is not true. No, they board the people in first class first. They don't board them from the back of the plane and fill it up like they should. That's
not
how it works.
Yeah, but if you're in C, and let's just go with the numbers. Let's say you're boarding group number four,
Southwest
and you're going in with two.
Southwest
okay, well,
is different than everything else.
I know, but I you still
but not for long.
The bins. It is annoying when the bins are taken and you have
that.
To shove stuff under your seat.
So you should get hosed because somebody else got boarding pass number.
Well, if you're
group
if you're in group
and you're in
four
six.
And you're going in group two, then all those people in group three should have technically gotten on there before you and had the bin the storage area.
But how did they get that? Did they pay extra for it?
Well, I don't know. They just got lucky, I guess.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I guess. Show me how that works. That's my question.
I'm watching you, Mark.
All right. I know you are, clearly. Coming up, we're going to get to another news with Ethan. Next hour, we've got my friend Evelyn, who you heard from there at the bottom of the hour, explaining as an immigrant why she is voting for Donald Trump this year and is so passionate about what she sees around here with people who make excuses instead of achieving their American dream. We'll be right back.
What's happening?
Go, you know the thing.
What the hell is going on?
In other news.
Phil Lesh, the bassist and founding member of the Grateful Dead, has passed away at the age of 84. Although no immediate cause of death was given, Lesh had previously overcome health challenges, including prostate and bladder cancer, as well as a liver transplant in 1998 due to hepatitis C. as well as years of heavy drinking, so that might have contributed.
That wasn't all they were doing in the Grateful Dead over the years.
No. Huh? Not at all.
That's sad, though. They're all getting to that age.
Well, he was in his 80s.
Oh, I know.
Aren't their fans called the Deadheads?
How old would Garcia have been? He would have been in his 80s, too, probably. I don't know that for sure. Jerry Garcia died, 25 years ago almost?
Yeah.
It was a long time ago.
But 95, 96?
Yeah, a long time.
It's one of those bands that you either like or you're either all in for the Dead or you are not.
Yeah, one or two songs they had that I enjoyed, and that was about it.
Yeah.
So.
The song I played, Box Rain, Bob sang lead on.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
8 months after a previous DUI.
Phil.
Okay.
Phil, because Bob Weir's the last one left.
Go ahead, Ethan. Don't mind us.
You sure? 8 months after a previous DUI arrest, former Home Improvement star Zachary Ty Bryan, he was the oldest son, you might remember him, he's been arrested again, this time for drinking and driving in Oklahoma.
My. Don't learn your lesson.
Yeah, he was detained by the Oklahoma Highway Patrol over the weekend, and all jail records show he did not have a valid driver's license with him.
That's not good.
Child stars, I guess.
That would be hard to be a child star when you're growing up in that environment.
Yeah. I think it depends on who you got around you, you know?
Oh, I agree.
If you got a good family steering you.
In his name and look him up to figure out which one
he was.
He was the oldest one.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that's a shame.
Delta Airlines has filed a lawsuit against cybersecurity firm CrowdStrike in Georgia, claiming that the faulty software update from the firm led to global outages in July. You all remember this happening.
I forgot about that.
It resulted in over $500 million in losses. The incident, which infected 8.5 million Windows computers worldwide, forced Delta to cancel 7,000 flights, disrupting travel for 1.3 million passengers over 5 days.
See, it wasn't people cutting in line to get on the plane. It was CrowdStrike.
Mark, don't defend the fact that you're gate lice.
I am not gate lice. Stop that.
You are, though.
Sounded like
it. And it also shut down our computers here at the radio station.
It was a nightmare.
3 days.
It was a nightmare.
Jimmy John's has launched the Pickle Witch. It's a new sandwich featuring dill pickle in place of the traditional bread. This limited-time menu, available nationwide from October 28th through November 14th. They are going to offer two versions, the Vito and the turkey and provolone. So if you want to cut your carbs and want to eat a lot of pickles, I guess, do your thing.
This is... yes. I have questions.
Not a pickle fan, Sue. Huh?
No, I like pickles.
No, Sue.
No, I'm not. But I don't... I want a wet pickle with stuff in it.
Are they going to pickle a cucumber and cut it in half? I mean,
it
would have to be
pickles.
Massive.
Yes. You know what's good is if you take deli meat with cream cheese and a pickle and wrap it all together, that's good.
I would agree.
So I feel like a sandwich would be good, too, depending on the condiments.
No. That's a lot of pickle.
Ugh.
Yeah, we'll see.
Man, when I was pregnant with Easton, I would just bring a jar. I know it's different. I'm just saying, I like pickles. I would still try this.
Let's see if you would try this, Kim. Famous Yeti's Pizza in Wisconsin has apologized after pizzas accidentally containing THC were served to customers between October 22nd and 24th. The health officials reported multiple cases of THC-related symptoms among patrons who were transported by EMS. Customers who have bought the pizzas during that time are advised to discard them. That's not going to happen. Authorities are continuing to investigate how the THC became involved in the pizzeria's food supply.
It's a pizza store, not frozen pizzas, right? Yep. Correct?
Wouldn't they have cameras back there, potentially, that would catch the employee putting it in there?
I could tell you how this happened.
The first sign was that the convenience store next door sold out of potato chips.
Yeah. Some kid had his stash out. Oh, it fell in like the oregano, and he sprinkled it on.
Oh, yeah.
Or he was making it for himself.
I was going to say, he was just trying to mess with people. I don't know. But why would you wait? I don't know. No, I would not try that to answer the question.
How high were these people that had to get transported by EMS?
I was thinking the same thing.
They drove at 3 miles an hour to the hospital.
And caused them to order more pizza.
They were busy calling their attorneys is what they were doing. All right, coming up, we're going to get to Evelyn, an immigrant to this country who is making the case for Donald J. Trump for president. We're going to be back in just a minute.
Get more at 971talk.com.